that Kirk Cousins is in fact going to the Minnesota Vikings. I think Benjamin Albright actually had that first a couple hours ago. Rappaport had him making that visit first, but Schefter says it's done. So usually Adam Schefter's pretty good about these things. So that's the second, surprisingly, domino to fall from the quarterback position.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we had Judy Batista on from NFL Network yesterday, and we were talking about this could be a landmark contract, and that would be the first fully guaranteed deal. Now, you mentioned to me right before the show, it's only 3 years. I get that. The good news for Cousins is not only does he get the fully guaranteed deal, by the time the contract is over, he's still in the prime of his career and can get another one.
And that's the trick, and that has everything to do with leverage, where he's a free agent. He could basically dictate the terms of his contract because there are so many teams that were interested in him. And that's why I'm not sure this is going to apply to many other free agents down the road, because very rarely do you have a top 15 quarterback hit the free agent market and be an unrestricted free agent. It doesn't happen much, so I think it's kind of a unique circumstance, but
yeah,
it certainly does put that idea in other players' heads moving forward. No
Without
question
a doubt.
About it.
Why wouldn't they? They're, well, it's been done before. Now it's not precedent-breaking, so we can start talking along those terms as well. And then you had Keenum, who apparently is going to be with the Broncos, so to speak, according to the reports.
2-year deal, according to what the reports say.
And Breeze, apparently, this morning, decided he was going to go back to the Saints. So that's 3 QBs out of the mix.
Correct. So and surprisingly, Keenum was the first guy that got reported to have a deal completed, which is, you know, something else. I guess the Broncos figured that they weren't going to be able to afford Cousins, so they went somewhere else. And I wouldn't think that that type of deal, which is just a 2-year contract for Keenum, would impact whether or not the Broncos draft a quarterback. Now, maybe it makes them less likely to move up to draft a quarterback, but I don't think it makes them any less likely to draft a quarterback since it's just a 2-year deal.
I think it lessens the urgency to do it at 5. Maybe they're more willing now to drop down a little bit. That could happen. Maybe they drop down from 5 to perhaps with the Bills, who just moved up to 12. I know a lot of people
think. But
then
you might not get a quarterback.
You might. You might.
You might not get one of the top 4.
Maybe they don't feel that strongly about him.
And that's possible.
You know? So, in any event, a lot of things happening in the last 24 hours. And even the Bills, by the way, the Bills move up in trading Cordy Glenn. To me, to get up to 12 is also a move that will have a ripple effect on the draft, because now they're number 12, and many people believe that by them going up to 12, they're simply trying to creep up somewhere into the top 5.
Of course, yeah. They're going to try to package those picks for a quarterback. I thought it was a very good move, the trade they did with the Bengals yesterday, or the reported trade at least, where you trade a guy like Glenn, who's missed nearly half his games the last 2 seasons, a talented tackle, but one that's been hurt a lot, with a big cap number, and you move him to move up 9 picks in the first round. I thought it was a very good pick for the Bills, and it makes sense for the Bengals if they believe they can keep Glenn healthy. They certainly need offensive line help. So
yep.
I think it makes sense to a certain extent. Obviously, offensive line reported movement as well. Reports out there, again, that maybe Andrew Norwell going to the Jaguars, maybe Weston Richburg going to the Niners. Again, just reports and nothing more than that. All right, let's get to our guest, Patty Traina. She joins us. She covers the Giants now for The Athletic, which has kind of opened up their New York market this year. She'll be covering them with Dan Duggan, who just announced he's going to The Athletic as well. Patty, you got Schmelken Dottino on Big Blue Kickoff Live. How you doing today?
Hey, guys. How is it going?
We're doing great, Patty. Obviously, we've seen some dominoes fall in free agency as agents leak out the terms of the contracts that their clients are agreeing to with teams. What are your thoughts on what we've seen so far?
Well, first off, it's been a wild for 24 hours. I'm telling you, I can barely keep up with all these rumors and reports. But, yeah, I mean, right now we're getting some reports of key free agents that I know have been linked to the Giants. For example, Andrew Norwell, I know, was a guy that a lot of Giant fans were hoping for. He reportedly is going to agree to terms with the Jaguars. It's just wild, because it's really, you know, jumbling up what you thought you knew about free agency and the draft coming up. It's just changing everything around.
So, Patty, how much did you get in your deal to jump to The Athletic?
Well, you know, I tell you, Dottino, they wanted something involving you, and I had to turn that down. And I'm like, Maybe in retrospect, I should have thrown you into the deal as well.
I understand. Hey, so as far as the cap situation with the Giants, a lot of numbers have to be finagled in a lot of different ways if you're going to make a big pitch for a superstar free agent. We heard Kevin Abrams at the end of the year last season when he was the interim GM say he thought the Giants were in decent shape with the cap, that it wasn't going to prohibit them from doing things that they want to do. Based on your numbers, because I know you know the cap better than anybody else in that media room, how do you see the Giants' numbers right now? Is it going to inhibit them based on what numbers these guys are currently talking about as guys are flying around the league?
Well, first off, I think it's important to stress that the cap is going to be fluid at this time of year. So the numbers that I have right now, which, by the way, I have them at about $20.4 million, that could change because there's still, you got to trim some contracts down. You might have some guys redoing contracts. There's a lot of stuff and a lot of moving pieces. But as far as, the Giants having enough to do what they want, it really depends on what it is they want to do. Are they going to be able to make the splash that they made a few years ago when they signed, Snacks Harrison and Vernon and Janoris Jenkins? Probably not. But are they going to be able to get some maybe mid to, second level to third level guys who can maybe become quality pieces? Yeah, I think they can do that. I mean, you're never going to have enough. And as we saw last year, they had about $10 million, I think, going into the season. And everybody was saying, oh, they should take that money and they should extend Odell or Pugh or Richburg. And then we come to find out that injuries wiped out most of that money. So you have to be really careful and just be careful that, you don't overspend on a guy. And I know that's easier said than done.
It's interesting you said that, though, Patty, because if you had extended Pugh and Richburg, how would you feel right now after both had injury-plagued seasons?
Probably would have been scratching your head and said, gee, what did I do? I mean, both guys they're good guys. They gave an effort. I had no problem with them. But with that said, you look at the performance and you say to yourself, okay, in Richburg's case, he has struggled for the last couple of years, not so much with the health, but when guys have lined up over him. You look at Pugh and you say, okay, he's versatile, which you like, but he has had trouble staying on the field, and he has a back injury that, remember, he never had surgery for. So, even though you'd like to think and hope for the best that he won't have problems with that again, there still exists that possibility because we did see last year how he tried to come back, and then he aggravated again. So you got to be really careful with that.
Patty, the other thing, too, with the Giants picking second overall, that is a much higher salary slot that you have to set aside for that player when you get to the draft. So having enough money for your draft class is also going to impact the Giants' cap situation as well, correct?
Absolutely. According to Over the Cap, the Giants are going to need approximately $9 million for their rookie pool. Now, as you guys know, that's not a hard number because you have the top 51 that starts on Wednesday when free agency starts,
right,
which basically means that guys, as you sign guys, are going to drop out. Guys that are already in the top 51 are going to drop out towards the bottom there. So you're really not talking a hard $9 million. So it's going to be tricky, but you're absolutely right, John. You do need to allow for at least, I would say, maybe $6, $7 million hard money for the draft class.
Now explain this, Patty, for those who don't understand this. Again, I know you're a cap person. If the Giants trade out from number two and go down, how does that affect the rookie cap pool? Because if they get extra picks but they're lower, the number kind of has to be morphed into a different way.
That's correct. What happens is if you trade down, depending on how far down you go and which picks you get, that's going to – everything is slotted. And again, Over the Cap has a great chart on the estimates, so you can kind of project how low they're going to, let's say the Giants drop down to seven and they pick up an extra second round, an extra third round pick, you can kind of project what the new number is going to be. So that is very much still a factor. And, it's interesting because I know we were all at the combine together and we heard, Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur say that they don't really have a solid plan in place for what they're going to do in the draft. I know Gettleman spoke about, we could be open for business if the right guy, the right offer comes along and somebody is there we want that we feel we can get lower. So just so many variables right now. It makes it fun, but it also makes it hard to predict exactly which direction they might be going.
You know, Patty, sometimes I think on the show we frustrate fans because they call in, they assume things are done and it's going to happen, and it doesn't, based on reports and things like that. We always say, well, let's wait for things to be final. And I think one thing we've learned early in this process, we've seen a lot of media reports over the last few months, from a national standpoint, even some from a local standpoint, where when the event actually happens, the reports appear to be untrue. Like, for example, a lot of the national reports last few days were stating, oh, Giants lock to try to sign, you know, Andrew Norwell. That was the report. And now all of a sudden when free agency hits and it's open, the reports are he's going somewhere else. I think what we're learning about this new front office and the way Dave Gettleman operates is that he doesn't tell anybody anything.
And a lot of these
reports out there might come from NFL sources, but they're not coming from sources in the building. So I think people have to be very careful here moving forward, believing that Dave Gettleman has told anybody what his intentions are doing in terms of the draft, free agency, or anything else. Because until he does something, I'm not going to believe it.
John, I'm going to tell you something else. Dave Gettleman's family doesn't know what they're having for dinner until they get to the table and the food is in front of them, okay?
John, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, it's not just the Giants. There are a lot of teams out there that you just don't know what they're going to do. You know, you look at the Patriots. You look at, you know, the Jaguars. I mean, did anybody – let's be real. If that report about Norwell to the Jaguars is true, did anybody see that coming? I don't think their name was even mentioned in the Norwell sweepstakes.
Nope.
So, I mean, it's all about keeping the opponent guessing. It's much like a football game where, you know, you don't want to put your game plan out there and have the opponent, you know, be able to counter it. So it's fascinating. It's, like I said, it's a challenge to try and figure these things out. But you got to be very, very careful about how you report things and how you present it to your readers and your listeners.
All right, Patty, we know that offensive linemen in free agency are getting, and I hesitate to use the word overpaid because, quite frankly, if the market bears it, is it overpaying? I we can play semantics all we want, but offensive linemen are getting big bucks. That's been the case the last couple of years in free agency. So if you're the Giants, given the numbers that they have available to them and maybe some finagling that they can do, are they better off drafting offensive linemen in the first two rounds, or are they better off potentially paying some big bucks to some guy who's out there on the street right now?
Or maybe a little column A, a column B.
If they can, yeah.
I was going to say I would do a combination of the two. First off, I don't know that there's a player at number two that I would take that's an offensive lineman. I know people have said, well, what about Nelson? I think he's going to be a very good player, but I think if I'm the Giants, I try and go down a few spots to get him. I would definitely not go too far out of the first 10 spots. I would try and stay close, but, you know, I would go down and pick up some additional spots. But as far as guys they can pick up on the street, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people spoke about Norwell, who's a guard. The position I'd like to see them really attack is tackle, because I don't think they have really – you know, enough depth at tackle right now. You've got Eric Flowers, who, you know, is going to compete for the left tackle spot. You have Adam Bisnawati, who finished out the season, I believe, at right tackle. You have Chad Wheeler, who played last year. You no longer have Bobby Hart, so you've got to get some depth at tackle.
Yeah.
And, there's three guys that I know I identified that I'd like to see them maybe, you know, reach out to. I know one guy a source has already told me that they've reached out to one. That would be Chris Hubbard of Pittsburgh, who is a right tackle. He's also versatile. He can play any place on that offensive line. So he's kind of like a healthy version of Justin Pugh, a guy who, you know, is not going to miss as many games or doesn't have that injury history that Pugh has. Another guy, Cameron Fleming of New England. And then I'm going to also throw in another guy, Austin Howard of Baltimore. He's a bit of a journeyman, but he has he's played in 92 games, 88 starts. You're not going to solve all the problems in the draft. I mean, look, we all know that it took years for them to get to this situation. So you're going to have to build in pieces. You're going to have to do a little this year, maybe a little next year, And I think you dip a little bit into the free agency. You try not to go crazy. I know that, you know, fans want the big splash, but you really have to be judicious with the money you have because you do have other needs. And then you look to maybe pick up a guy, you know, like maybe if he's there in the second round, a Will Hernandez or somebody like that, and just build that way.
Patty, what do you think the market's going to be for those quote-unquote middling tackles? You know, Nate Solder's the most proven guy in the market. He's going to get top dollar wherever he ends up going. What do you think the market is going to be for the type of guys you mentioned? What's the financial commitment? Is it going to be, you know, the Matt Khalil money that we saw last year get thrown around by the Panthers? You know, Russell Okung, who wasn't considered a very good player, he got paid out the you-know-what. What do you think the market's going to be for these middling tackles?
Look what Riley Reiff got last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're talking big bucks. I mean, I think what you have to also bring into consideration is the teams that are offering the money here. Because, you know, you get a Florida team and everybody says, oh, there's no state, no income tax in Florida. So, you know, that gives a Florida team, you know, an advantage.
No question.
Yeah, so you have to play all that against each other. And then, you know, there are guys that are going to want to start. So, you know, are these guys going to come in and say, hey, I don't want to hear it. I want starter money. I want to start. I want that guarantee. And otherwise, we're not talking. Or do you have guys that are going to come in and say, you know what, I'm willing to come in, but I want incentives if I do start. So there's a lot of different ways that a contract could be structured. They can say, okay, you know what, we'll pay you this amount, but if you start, will give you know, an extra bonus or something like that. So you can protect yourself that way.
God bless George Young, who always said, whenever they tell you it's not about the money, it's about the money.
Definitely.
Patty, my final question. The Giants linebacking core is not getting a lot of ink right now because everyone was focused on the offensive line. Based on, again, the economics of the position, do you see a linebacker that they could afford to bring in free agency before they get to the draft to address that hole?
Well, the guy that I was hoping they would kick the tires on is Anthony Hitchens of the Cowboys, and I understand.
Sorry.
I know, but I believe he went to, I think the report was he had him going to the Chiefs, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct, yes, yep.
Another guy that I know I was writing about as a possibility, and I don't know that they're going to be able to get him. I don't know if the Eagles are going to let him out, but Nigel Bradham is a guy that that intrigues me. But I really think, you know, with linebackers, you know, the key here is they need to get guys who can cover. And I don't know that the free agency class has a whole lot of those guys. You've got some good run stuffers.
Bradham can.
But you definitely need to get some guys who can cover. So if you're talking about the draft and you want to, you know, again, trade down, maybe see if you can get some of these guys. You know, you've got a Roquan Smith of Georgia, Vander Esch of Boise State. And if you want to, like, a day three, or as now he's projected to be a day three type of guy, maybe look at Darius Leonard of South Carolina State. But again, like the offensive line, I think they're going to have to do a combination of the two, see if they can pick somebody up. I know they just announced, or you guys announced that you re-signed Mark Kurzlik, who's versatile. He can play, you know, that outside linebacker. He can play inside linebacker, pressed into action. But who's to say, you know, the Giants might not turn around and say, you know what, maybe we bring back a Kelvin Shepard, who, you know, is a good run stopper, very smart player. You know, can you upgrade from him? You know, you want to upgrade regardless, you know, of who the player is. But, you know, maybe you go that route. So, again, a lot of possibilities. But I think the draft is going to be very key for that linebacker spot.
Yeah, John, we should just probably mention Peter Schrager has said the Lions are likely to sign Devon Kennard, as long as we were talking linebacker. I just threw that.
Yeah, no question. And Patty, I was going to ask you about the linebackers too, so that's not going to be my final question, Ms. Paul.
Well, I'm done.
Asked you first. And I think
I'm tapped.
I think it is interesting, though, in general, that you know, the type of contract Anthony Hitchens is reported to have gotten. Usually linebacker is a position that's not a big money position in free agency, so maybe people are starting to appreciate the importance of those coverage linebackers, which Hitchens is. So my final question, Patty, will be, give me the surprise position that you don't think people are maybe talking about enough, that you think Dave Gettleman might go out and grab somebody in free agency at that position that maybe people you don't think have focused on enough since last season ended.
Defensive end.
Why?
Why? Because even though, you know, you've got James Betcher who primarily runs that 3-4, he is multiple. So you are going to probably see some 4-3 looks. You're probably going to see, you know, a lot of different moving around. So let's say, for example, Betcher decides, okay, you know what? In some personnel packages, I'm going to drop OV back into coverage as a linebacker. Who's your third defensive end?
Yeah.
You don't really have one right now. And if you look at the 2017, you look at the 2011 team, what did those defenses have that the teams of late haven't had? Giants, they had a good third defensive end that they could rotate guys in and out. So I think that position, and, you know, maybe Avery Moss develops, maybe somebody else on the roster is going to develop, I don't know. But if I'm Gettleman, I get myself another defensive end because you can't keep running JPP and OV to the ground. Those two have not played in a 16-game season since they brought OV in. And that to me, they're just not getting the value that maybe they were expecting.
Hey, based on his history, Patty, Dave Gettleman loves bringing in defensive linemen. He likes stacking the position. So I think that makes an awful lot of sense. Patty,
warning, the defensive end crop. Not real good.
Correct.
And free agency.
And that might be something they address in the draft, too. Patty, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Patty Traina from The Athletic. Thank you for joining us. And The Athletic will be covering the Giants this year. Her and Dan Duggan on it. It's a subscription service. Go to The Athletic, and you can check that out to see if that's something you might be interested in. They've actually hired a lot of really good veteran journalists over there. They do NBA. They do all the sports. And something new. They're trying to do
a
pay-for-content model, which
making a splash.
I think if everyone did that from the start, we'd be in a different situation in terms of the industry these days. But they're trying to do it, and we'll see what happens. 201-939-4513. So just to reset a second with free agency now, just in terms of the quarterbacks, because even though that doesn't affect the Giants, it might affect the draft, which could affect the trade down, which has a universal effect on the league. From the teams that were in big needs of a quarterback, if the reports are all true,
yes.
Cousins looks like he's going to the Vikings.
Right.
Keenum looks like he's going to the Broncos.
Yes.
Okay? So I wouldn't say it makes it impossible for the Broncos to trade up for a quarterback, but maybe probably a little bit less likely. The Vikings obviously are now set. We weren't expecting them to trade up for somebody anyway, but that does mean that both Sam Bradford and Teddy Bridgewater will probably be available to sign elsewhere if Cousins is a member of the Vikings now.
Mm-hmm.
That leaves the Jets looking for a quarterback with the 6th pick in the draft.
Yes.
That leaves the Arizona Cardinals looking for a quarterback with the 15th pick in the draft. And I would say the Bills looking for a quarterback with the 12th and 21st, correct,
yep,
picks in the draft.
Yep.
And I'll even put the Dolphins out there as a team who looks like they might be in rebuilding mode a little bit with some of the moves they've made, cutting Ndamukong Suh, or they're supposedly going to release Ndamukong Suh, trading Jarvis Landry, but then they traded for Robert Quinn, so I'm not sure what's going on up there. But I think maybe at 11, they have a chance of maybe looking for a quarterback in that top 15 area. I think that covers most of the teams, unless I miss somebody.
I think Cincinnati might still be in play.
I really do. I think after the trade down, less likely. At 12, I think you have more realistic ability to move up and get one. Once you go down to 21, I don't know. It seems it's less likely, but I agree. Based on where they are as a franchise, I could see them wanting to add a QB in one way, shape, or form. I agree with that.
They'd have to come up with quite a package now if they wanted to get back up. There's no question.
Or maybe they're happy to, and you know, Lamar Jackson's a guy they can get at 21. You know, Mason Rudolph, if they like him, that's a guy that can get a 21. I actually think a good comparison for Rudolph actually is Andy Dalton. I think they're somewhat similar. But anyway, so that's kind of where we stand, folks. And as news comes out, we'll try to give it to you. We'll monitor social media, and we'll respond to your tweets at hashtag Giants Chat as well. But let's get to the phones. You guys have been waiting patiently. Hope you enjoyed the information Patty gave us on the cap and free agency. Let's go to AJ in South Carolina. AJ, you're up first.
Thanks for taking my call.
Hi.
I know the Giants are release a Brad Wing, what does that do by the punter situation?
Well, when they signed, and AJ, thanks for the call, when they went through their futures contracts and stuff like that after the season, they did add a
Austin
punter,
Rico,
yes,
from Idaho, and he was in Bill's camp a year ago, averaged 44.3 yards a kick, I believe, in college.
And it would
so
not
he's got a leg.
And it would not shock me if there's competition brought in as well. I don't think you're going to hand
anybody
a job, so there you
I
go.
I think so.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they have the same thing, a place kicker.
Now, I have not done any research on him other than preliminary to look at stats and his bio, so I have not, like, investigated him. But suffice it to say, if his average was over 44 yards a kick in bad weather in Idaho, because it's not real nice there, okay, that indicates a good ability to do well in inclement conditions. But what I don't know anything about his hang time. I don't know about his directional. I don't know anything about that, okay? But on the face of it, the number is impressive in a bad weather situation.
Matt, Rhode Island, he's up next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Tommy Coughlin got us this morning. That was some devastating news to wake up to this morning.
Hey, Matt, I'll just say this real quick, and I know a lot of fans get expectations based on reports, and I understand it, but with free agency, and I tweeted it out this morning, and I think fans, it's important that they just take this into consideration. Even if a team wants a player or a fan wants a certain player for their team, a player is a free agent. He has 32 potential destinations to choose from. So just because a team wants a player, they might even offer him the most money. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to get that player because it's not the team's choice, it's the player's choice. And that's why free agency is free agency, and that's why you have to draft well, because guess what? If you draft a player, you get him.
Yes.
If you want the guy, you get him.
Yes.
It doesn't work that way in free agency sometimes.
No, it takes two to tango in free agency. It
exactly.
only takes one in the draft.
Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't 100% expecting to get him, but Jacksonville wasn't one of those teams you were hearing about.
Yep.
But like you said, you never know. I went to bed at around 10 o'clock, and I woke up, and there it is. So, you know, moving forward, this was something I kind of talked about on the show last year. The Giants have to overpay for offensive linemen if they want to get this thing fixed.
And by the way, Matt, it's not just the Giants. It's every team has to overpay for offensive linemen to get their lines fixed. It's not just the Giants. Everyone.
The market is through the roof on that position.
But,
I mean.
Yes. But last year there was a lot of talk in the show how, you know, they shouldn't overpay for the Riley Reiffs of the world. Well, they have to. I can't fathom that there's a team with a more desperate situation on the offensive line than the Giants in the NFL currently. And whether it's this guy Harbert or it's a Fleming or bringing Pugh back or a combination, at some point they have to invest money there. It can't continuously be, well, these guys got overpaid, the other teams are stupid. The Giants look pretty stupid right now. I mean, they have to have the worst offensive line in the NFL on paper currently.
Matt, I will say this. I think the need this year is a lot greater than last year.
No doubt in my mind.
For a few reasons.
No doubt in my mind.
One, I think you're absolutely right. One, you don't have Richburg and Pugh under contract, so that's a big deal. Those are 2 year starters from last year that are gone. Obviously, Eric Flowers had a very important year last year where he showed some improvement, but he's still not where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you're a little less confident that he can take that next step. Bobby Hart's no longer on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody thought people could compete for a starting spot last year. So, Matt, I agree. I think it's much – I'm not going to use the word dire, but I think it's much more important for the team to make a bigger investment in that position this offseason than it was last offseason. I agree with you.
On top of that, you're coming off a 3-win season
instead
of an 11-win playoff season.
Correct.
You put all these factors together, and I think the caller is right. You kind of backed into a corner where, you know, the numbers and the investment you make in the position is going to have to be more substantial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, John, I'm not sure how you can call it any other word other than dire. I mean, every guy that's under contract currently has proven themselves to be, I would say, at best, an average starter, if that. I mean, who's the best lineman on the Giants currently?
I would say probably
Jerry.
I think the three guys you're talking about are Flowers, Jerry, and Brett Jones, right? Though I guess Brett Jones technically isn't under contract because he's a restricted guy, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty damn scary. I mean,
yeah,
Jones is not starting for too many teams across the league. So, you know, just like ultimately, and I think we're kind of on the same page here. Maybe it's a semantic thing,
right.
I don't care, you know, if they overpay by $2 or $3 million. At some point, if they're going to bring Eli Manning back this year and they don't invest in the position, if they're really, it should be a criminal because they're setting him up out there to get his brains beat in. So hopefully we'll have some better news in the upcoming days. I appreciate you guys taking the call and always enjoy the show.
Thank you, Matt. Let me put it this way. I think at some point, whether it's in free agency or the draft, Paul, and tell me if you think this is fair or not, I think the team is probably going to have to add three guys that they believe can start.
Not necessarily going to start,
but at least you believe can come in and win one of the starting spots. I think you need three, whether it's in the draft or free agency.
Starting caliber alignment.
Correct.
And it doesn't matter if it's 2-1 or 1-2
in terms of
free agency or the draft, but three starting caliber alignment. Because to be frank with you folks, you have to have six, okay? You're five starters, and that sixth guy – oh, in today's NFL with all the injuries, there's a good chance he's going to play some. So he better not be dropping off a cliff.
Yeah.
You know, your top reserve can't be a guy who barely made the roster. Your top reserve has got to be a guy like Bob Whitfield. You know, he's got to be a guy like Sean Andrews. He's got to be playable.
Frankly, even a Marshall Newhouse.
Marshall Newhouse, he's got to be playable. Yeah. That you know I can get by for 2 or 3 weeks if I've got to put him in.
And look, guys, we're not breaking news. What was the one position?
No, we're not.
What is the one thing? What one position Dave Gettleman highlighted at his introductory press conference? What was his quote? We got to fix the offensive
line. So did Pat Shurmur.
Shurmur said the same thing.
So this conversation is almost moot because they've already addressed it. They told the world they're going to do something about it. Now, somebody's already off the board. Fine. You look at what else is left. You look at the draft. And in a few months, okay, we revisit this after they've gone through their entire cooking process and figure out what the Giants are going to serve on the table come August.
I do agree with what Patty said to us, though. I think, at least in my opinion, that tackle's probably a little bit more of a need than guard at this point.
Well, I think it's going to be harder to get.
Well, yeah, although I agree with that 100%.
You know,
I agree.
I think you can get a second round guard who is starting capable in this draft.
Yeah, sure.
I'm not sure you can do that at tackle.
And you know what? If you have to start John Jerry at guard, okay. He started guard the last 3 years. It was fine. You know, you could do that. But I think tackle, though, is a little bit more in flux. And yeah, you like Chad Weir, you like Adam Biznavati, but those are developmental guys. You're not handing those guys jobs. Those are guys that have to not only just earn jobs, but earn their spot on the roster, too. I mean, these are guys that are fighting for positions on the team. So I think you don't have – I mean, of the guys on the roster, Paul, you're looking at one guy that has extensive track record of starting at tackle in the NFL, in Flowers, and that's pretty much it.
And this is why it's so difficult, because even in free agency, in my mind, 1 and 2 out there at the moment would be Fleming – and Hubbard. Hubbard, I didn't think the Steelers were ever going to let him go.
Then all of a sudden
they decided to.
Well, there would be 2 and 3 because Solder would obviously be number one on the list.
Yeah, I'm thinking he's back at the Patriots, though.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't think he's going anywhere.
Look at it this way. I would bet the Patriots.
The word out of Boston is that Belichick is trying to bring him back.
Here's what I would say. The Patriots are going to keep either Solder or Hubbard. He's not going to let both guys walk out
Fleming.
The building. Fleming, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Or Fleming. He's
no.
not going to let both guys
there's
walk
no
out
way.
The building. Right.
And then there's even Waddle.
Correct.
Who was their other tackle on a lesser notch. But here's the problem. Fleming, who is primarily a right tackle but has played some left. Hubbard, who is a jack of all trades, and again, I thought the Steelers were going to keep him. Here's the problem with Hubbard, and I know Patty mentioned him. Here's the big problem with Hubbard.
And by the way, they still might. There's still time for them to bring him back.
They could. But apparently, they told him they want to re-sign him, but as their sixth lineman.
So they don't want to pay him like a starter.
Bingo.
Got it.
So now he hears that, and he's saying, well, free agency suddenly looks better to me because I might be able to get starters money because I've started some at right tackle in this league. I'm going to get starters money, and someone's going to promise me a starting job, and let's see what I can do to jack up my numbers.
Well,
and you can't blame him for that.
No, see, in the market, why wouldn't you?
Why would you?
Stupid not to.
So as attractive as Hubbard, I think, is to other teams, well, guess what? His situation and his ask is going to go up. So that becomes an issue now because this is a guy who's been a plug-and-play versatility guy his whole career. Now you're going to all of a sudden give him starter's money?
And there is a difference in those roles.
Sure there is.
And a responsibility.
And that's
absolutely
why the numbers are different.
Correct.
So that becomes a little tricky. And again, I like Hubbard a lot. But is he going to outprice himself for his resume? That's a question. It's the same question with Fleming, who hasn't played a ton, played more than Hubbard, especially at tackle. But does he outprice himself? You look at a guy like Josh Sinton from the Bears. All right, 2 years ago, he's a Pro Bowl.
Now, and he still has Pro Bowl skills, but is he healthy?
He's 31 years old.
Right.
He's coming off an ankle injury.
And he's had injury issues the last few years.
And he was a street free agent, John, which meant he could have signed at any time since the Bears cut him, and no one has signed him yet.
Which tells me nobody is knocking down the door with a big offer. Because if he would have gotten a big offer, he probably would have signed it, right?
He would have gone to the bank.
Yeah, exactly.
So something's not right with the Sinton situation. Either he's not getting the money that he's asking for, or maybe his medical isn't as good as teams want it to
be. I think, Paul, with any player over 30 in this league, there's always a big proceed with caution sign. Unless you're talking about the quarterback position. That doesn't have his, you know, they can play for a long time. If you have a guy that's over 30 years old, people worry. Guys break down. It happens. Not many people play really well into their mid-30s. It doesn't happen. It's a tough league. It's the way it goes.
It's a brutal league. But in any event, again, a lot of variables here. Free agency has only just begun. I think ultimately, before anybody goes with their knee-jerk reaction and just like totally freaks out over what's happened in the last day or two, you have to let the thing play out. And after it's all said and done, after free agency has its run its course, then you sit down and you say, okay, now we're the Giants. How are we going to deal with the holes we have, and what are we going to do? Are we indeed going to trade? Are we going to draft Quentin Nelson at 2? Are we going to move back and take McGlinchey at 12? You think about that stuff in a month. You don't make those decisions today.
And by the way, going back to what our last caller just said, I thought it made a pretty good point. I would go back to another thing Dave Gettleman said multiple times during this offseason. I think he said it at the Combine, he said it at the Senior Bowl, and he said it at his press conference. You use free agency to plug holes. So you don't get to the draft and say, I have to draft somebody
Correct.
At this position. So,
Correct.
Folks, trust me, they're going to do stuff. They're not going to sit there and heading into the draft with a huge gaping hole at a spot on the field. So, trust
me. They'll try. You never know if you can succeed, but he'll do what he can.
Well, again, you might not get your solution, but you'll at least get something in place where you're like, here's a backup option. Here, worst case scenario, you go here, where we'd be comfortable with it. They'll make sure that they're not sitting there at the draft without more than one starting caliber tackle on the roster and be like, oh boy, we're in a lot of trouble. That's not what they're going to do.
I would be very shocked because Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur made it very, very clear
what
their top priority is. And it would be shocking, I think, to all of us if they did not do something to address it in some way, shape, or form.
Now, it's not impossible. The market might make it prohibitive. Who knows? You never know. It's free agency. Anything can happen. But they'll do everything in their power to make sure it doesn't. Don in Knoxville, Tennessee is up next. Hey, Don.
Good morning, guys. How
Hello.
Are you? Oh, good afternoon, actually.
Hey, Don.
You
we're great. I actually have a request. Dave wanted to know if you could head down to the fort and maybe send up some of that gold to help with free agency. Can you be of assistance there?
Hey, I'll do anything in my power to get you guys more money.
No problem. What's up?
A couple of comments. First of all, John, I don't agree with your comment about John Jerry. Jerry had a decent year last year when it came to run blocking, but when it came to pass blocking, he was less than adequate. So I don't know that from a standpoint, I mean, you may be stuck with him, but I don't know from a standpoint that he is a great asset to the starting line.
Well, Don, I never called him a great asset. I said, let me put it this
you
way.
You said he was signed. In itself makes him worth something.
He's a guy, if you play him, he's not going to kill you.
Couple of quick questions for you guys. Now that Norwell's basically off the board, I found it interesting that in watching NFL this morning, they were saying that the Jaguars were going after him because Fournette had a decent year last year, and this will only allow them to pound the rock that much more.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at it from that standpoint, and Gettleman is about building line, does Nelson become the more important component at this point, or do you still consider Saquon Barkley because he does have the capability to run the ball, but if you don't have that line in front of him, it's only going to make it that much tougher?
You're saying exactly what I've been saying now for a month, and that's the thing. If the line is not fortified before you get to the draft, it's very hard to draft Barkley because you're not going to maximize his production. It's just unlikely if your line isn't good enough. So that's why you have to let free agency play out first before you seriously consider who you're going to pick and if you're going to trade that pick. Look, a guy we haven't talked about because he's not signed at the moment is DJ Fluker. Quite frankly, he may be the most punishing run blocker that the Giants had last year. And right now, he's a free agent. So, you know, you could help yourself by getting him back into the fold and say, okay, there's one of the guards because we know he blocks for the run well. That's a guy who is an adequate solution. He's not going to the Pro Bowl, but he can block for the run. If that's what you want to do, he will get that done for you.
Paul, I'm in total agreement with you. I think the Giants need more draft picks, and I think they probably will at this point come down a little bit. I noticed they signed Jalapio yesterday as I guess, a tool for the guard. But I'll take this question off the air.
Sure.
Gettleman has a propensity for finding what I call people hiding in the weeds, similar to when he found Norwell as an undrafted free agent. Mm-hmm. Do you think at this point, without giving away any secrets, does Gettleman have at least one or two people, let's say line-wise, that he's looking at, that he's hoping nobody else drafts in front of him so that the Giants can get him? I thank you very much for taking the call. I'll take the answer off the air.
Thank you, Don. I bet you, and Paul and I don't know if this is the case or not, or any names. If we did, which we don't, we wouldn't tell you anyway.
No.
but we don't. I guarantee you, Dave Gettleman, not just in the draft, but also free agency, has guys on his list that maybe some other people don't see as stars that he thinks can be a very good or good starter in
or
this league
adequate
on the
replacement.
Offensive line.
Yeah.
Go back to when the Giants found Sean O'Hara. It's mm-hmm. the perfect example. And there are going to be guys that he thinks will fit, whether it's in the middle rounds of the draft or in the lower tiers of free agency. The question is there only there's one other team that likes the player too? Then all of a sudden the price goes up. So it's all a matter of whether or not you can match the guy he likes with the value you can afford, or in the draft, the player with the spot in which you're picking. And I guarantee he has these guys. If there's one position that Dave Gettleman knows how to evaluate, it's the guys up front in the offensive line. I guarantee he has the guys, and we'll see if he manages to target them and manages to bring them in.
Look at it this way, okay? Dave Gettleman is, again, a film junkie. And if there is somebody to be uncovered, he'll find them. You remember when they brought in Sean Locklear, who was thought to be washed up by the Seattle Seahawks? And Gettleman was the pro personnel director at the time they brought in Locklear. And he gave the Giants the bulk of a good season at tackle. When everybody else thought he was done, he won the starting job. And, you know, he was important to them until he went and got hurt. And that was the end of that. So, you know, there are a number of guys over the course of time. He was the one who flagged Antonio Pierce and told Ernie Accorsi, sign this guy off the Redskins. He's going to be our answer in middle linebacker. So I'm with John on this. I do think there are people under the radar who he has a list together on who think that they could be adequate if he can't get the higher profile type of guys. I will also add one other thing. The draft is going to be key here, John, because you get these undrafted rookie free agents like Richie Seibert, who wind up becoming a starter on a Super Bowl team. Now, that's not a Gettleman thing, because that's college personnel.
How about Andrew Norwell when he was in Carolina?
Now, I know, but the college personnel people are more responsible for the undrafted free agents than the pro personnel guys are.
Yeah, but in Carolina, he was the general manager.
He was the GM, and
right.
He grabbed him.
Correct.
Yes, yes.
But you're right. That is more of the in-the-weeds work done by your scouts and your college
right.
people. No question.
And then
agreed.
You have to have your GM say, I have conviction in what you're saying. I believe in what you see. I see it, too. Let's go get the guy. So as much as I don't want to say this, because I would hate for the Giants to have to wait this long, there may wind up being another Richie Seibert that they find after the draft who helps out this offensive line opening day. I don't know the answer to that. I hope for the Giants' sake they get somebody more proven before that who winds up filling out this line. But if it happens, it happens. That's all I'm saying.
201-939-4513. Back to the phones. Pete in Staten Island is up next. Hi, Pete.
How you doing, guys? Good afternoon.
Hi. Good afternoon, Pete. How are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good. I did hear about the Norwell thing. I know it's not official, so no sense in going there, except the fact that it's probably more official than anything, especially if Tom's involved. But my question is, Paul, you had a guy that everybody pretty much said, Paul, be quiet. Don't talk about him. There's another guard, I think, that you were pretty high on in free agency. And I think something happened last year where you were talking about him, and all of a sudden, you know, the guy went and he went for, you know, a stupid amount of money. Do you know the gentleman that I'm talking about, the guard?
Well, last year, at first in December, I think it was November even, I was targeting Whitworth. Then when his price became available, it was like, are you kidding me? He's going to get too much money. I moved off him and said Riley Reiff would be the next tackle I would go after because he should come in probably in the area of $7 million or so. Well, guess what? He got 11 to go to the Vikings. That wasn't so reasonable either.
And by the way, apparently he didn't play that well this year for them either. They were a little disappointed with how he played.
He did okay, but compared to the value that they paid, again, and we knew that going in. He was not an $11 million a year player. But you know what? He did start at left tackle for a team that went to the playoffs.
I think you mentioned somebody about a week and a half ago.
Well,
flying under the radar.
I've been talking about for months now, Fleming I thought would be a value target. I didn't think Hubbard would be available, but he's a value target. Waddle from the Patriots could be a value target. Sinton, who was cut by the Bears recently, could be a value target. I'll give you another one. Silatalu, who's a guard, had some injury issues a couple years ago. He would be another guy who's a value target. Does that mean that Dave Gettleman is thinking how I am? It doesn't mean that at all. So I don't want to put words in his mouth. You know, and, and you know what happens, though. I mention a guy, some other team grabs him, and the Giants don't get him. I mean, so do you really want me to do that? I've just ruined it now.
Right. So you got to be quiet for a while. Then.
I know.
We at least picked your guy up. My second thing is, and I really didn't want to go into this, but I'm going to anyway. And, you know, this has to do with Odell. And I hope you guys don't mind talking about it just a little bit. Let me ask you, what is the now I said something to a couple of friends yesterday. What is the drug testing policy in the National Football League? In other words, if he didn't do anything wrong, let's say, for instance, somebody accused me of doing something or whatever, okay?
Yeah.
The first thing I would do is turn around and say, drug test me, okay? What are the rules and what would the Players Association say as far as something like that? If he agreed, you know, to he says to John Mara, John, I did nothing wrong, drug test me.
Well,
can
I mean, you don't get put into the program generally unless you do test positive on a drug test, unless there's other sort of direct evidence that something happened. So I don't think that's an issue here. Like the type of scenario you're putting out there, I don't think it would apply to what we're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know the specific wording of the CBA.
They do they only do urine? Because hair follicle is what they should be doing.
I honestly don't know, and thanks a lot for the call. I don't know how they do the test. I would assume it's urine, but I don't know for sure.
The only thing I will say is that a few years ago when Kareem McKenzie was still here, and he was the rep for the Giants – I remember that he was telling me that there were still certain tests, including blood tests and HGH tests, that the Players Union was still fighting against because they did not believe that those tests were either accurate or should be taken.
Correct. And so, the only way you can, and this was a big deal in baseball, the only way you can test for HGH is if you do a blood test.
Right.
Correct.
Right. So there have been a lot of debates about all of these things. Again, I don't know the specific wording of the CBA, so
I'm not
comfortable really discussing it.
Me neither.
Other than to say, I know that there's been a lot of back and forth between the players' union and the owners, and I don't know that anybody is fully satisfied with whatever it is that's in place today.
Right. And look, if the players that are not in the program take their test a year, the players that are in the program get tested randomly. That's how it goes. Those are the rules. And that's how it goes. 201-939-4513. Carl up in Syracuse is up next. Hi, Carl.
How's it going?
Hello. Doing great, Carl. What's up?
So I took a look back at Davis Webb's combine workout and, you know, his throwing and his combine results and the Senior Bowl. He was MVP in the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
And how strikingly similar are his physical attributes and his combine numbers to Josh Allen. It's just amazing. Like, they have the same broad jump within his, same vertical jump.
Carl. Do you know how much a vertical jump and a broad jump matter for quarterbacks in the National Football League? Zero.
It is
the underwear Olympics for a reason now. I mean, I'm a big Davis Webb guy. You already know that. But I'm not going to compare his combine numbers and say that's why I'm selling him to you. I'm not going to do that because that's just not the way it works.
Carl, when it comes to quarterbacks,
we like to
what happens
talk
in games.
About what kind of athlete some of these guys are. But everyone talks about what an athlete that Josh Allen is. But, like, you compare Davis Webb to the combine numbers of the guys this year, and he's better than all of them except for Josh Allen.
I don't think Davis Webb is a poor athlete. I think he isn't now. He's not going to go out there and be Carson Wentz, and he's not going to be, you know, Michael Vick. But, you know, he's somebody that can move a little bit in the pocket.
Look, I've said all along, and this is why I wanted the Giants to draft him. I love his tools. I think he's got all the tools. And so if you're trying to sell me on, does he have the ability physically to succeed in this league? There's no way I'm disagreeing with that. The question that everybody throws back at me is, we haven't seen him in a real game. Does he have the intangibles? Will he read defenses? Will he throw the ball accurately? I don't think anyone's questioning Davis Webb's arm strength. Even the people who don't like him cannot question his arm strength.
No,
if you've ever seen him throw the ball, he can wing it.
The questions of Davis Webb are the unknowns of his performance in an NFL game with defenses coming after him. Those are the questions that we don't have answers to.
Correct. And he does have a pretty accurate deep ball, and he does show pretty good pocket presence. I know we had a limited sample size, but, like, look at the end of the preseason week 4 last year. You know, in that little comeback victory there.
Hey, you don't have to sell me on Davis Webb. You know how I feel. I think he's the next guy here, and I'm not touching a quarterback in this draft. Case closed. John feels differently, and he's allowed to.
Now after that, now the Bills just, you know, there's speculation that they could be, that they're trading their number 21 pick and their left tackle, Cordy Glenn, for the number 12 pick. Now, how much sweeter would that be to move back from number 2 with Buffalo to at number 12 and, say, number 22?
Well, honestly, it's better than 21 and 22 to get 12 and 22.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I've said all along I would be very leery of moving outside of the top 7 or 8 in this draft and not getting one of the best players. If I walk out of this draft, I want to wind up, if you pick a quarterback, fine, pick a quarterback. Otherwise, if you don't go QB, I want either Quentin Nelson, Saquon Barkley, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Bradley Chubb, and maybe you can convince me to put Denzel Ward into that group. Maybe. Those are one of the 5 guys that I want. And if I'm trading back and I don't get one of those guys, I'm going to be a very unhappy person.
You know, I'm going to just further this by saying I got to wait for free agency to play out before I really express how I feel about that, because free agency is going to play a big part in how I finally decide I want to go. I've been a proponent in trading the pick. I still think that's a logical and very good idea. But free agency is going to impact what I finally do on April 26th. I'll say this. If you do trade down to 12 with the Bills, okay, Nelson's out of the question. You're not getting him.
And so is Minkah Fitzpatrick, and so is Chubb, and so is Barkley.
So if you really think that you've got to spend a first-round pick on offensive line because you did not get one in free agency, you better hope McGlinchey's there at 12.
And quite frankly, I
okay?
think...
You better hope so.
And in my opinion, I think McGlinchey at 12 is a bit of a reach. I don't think he's the 12th best player in this draft. If you pick McGlinchey at 12, in my opinion, based on what I know about these guys right now, maybe my opinion will change, that is a reach pick. That is a need pick. He is not the 12th best player in this draft. He's just not.
But at the very least, maybe the Buffalo coming up to 12 maybe would put pressure on other teams that are also, you know, possible trade with the Giants to where they'll be like, oh, man, Buffalo's coming up. They're really trying to make a move here. Maybe we have to come up to the Giants and get number two.
Sure. That's true, too. Absolutely.
Again, a for sale sign is out, baby. Bring the boatload of picks, you know.
I'm
milking them for everything I can get. I'll say this. I was asked this morning after the Buffalo trade, what do you want to do if you're going to go to 12? What's it going to take? And I decided in my own mind it's going to take the 12. They're going to have to give me their other first-round pick.
Of course.
They're going to have to give me their second-round A, and they're going to have to give me next year's number one.
Oh, you're not getting all that.
I'm trying for it.
What if the Bills come to you and say, we're going to give you both our ones, we'll give you our top pick at the top of the – our better second-round pick, and we'll give you the Browns' third-round pick?
That's not doing it for me.
I don't think you're going to get much more than that because that's about equal on the chart.
Rule, again, football 101 rule is if you're trading a high first-round pick this year, part of that trade has to be a first-round of the following year.
But
that's football 101.
Not if you're getting two first rounds the year you're trading the pick.
Yeah, but I'm swapping.
Hey, thanks, guys. I'll call again.
All right.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Remember, though, you're getting two
well,
ones
again,
already. You're not just getting one this year. You're getting two ones this year, which makes it a little bit different.
I'm asking high.
I'm asking you what you'll settle for.
What will
I'm
settle
not
for?
Asking what you're asking for. I'm asking what you'll settle for.
Maybe I settle for a number two next year, but I'm not.
Okay. So you would consider doing
maybe.
And you know what? I think the Bills might say yes to this. If the Bills came to you and said, we'll give you 12, and it's 20, I think they traded 21. They still have 22 left, right? So they'll trade 12. They'll trade you 22. They will trade you their better of their two second-round picks, and they'll trade you a second-round pick next year.
12, what'd I talk about? I was just talking about with somebody about this earlier today. What did I say to him? I said 12, 22, 53, right? 53 is the other one?
I'll have to look at the
and then the number two next year?
Yes. Would you do
it's
that?
A little, I'm asking higher, but I would certainly consider it. Again, it's going to depend on how the Giants plug their free agency holes first.
And remember,
before I say I take it.
And, Paul, if they do that, you don't have to pick an offensive lineman at 12. You could pick an offensive lineman then at 22.
Oh, I know.
And you can get Isaiah Winterworld Hernandez at 22.
I'm very much aware of that.
Or if you really like Connor Williams or McGlinchey, one of those two guys could very well be available at 22 if you want to tackle. And then you could pick another. If you pick the tackle at 22, you could pick a guard at the top of the second round.
You folks aren't going to like me for saying this, but if you get no help on the offensive line in free agency, I'd have no trouble taking McGlinchey at 12 and Hernandez at 22. Taking two offensive linemen in the first round. If I don't get any in free agency, come on.
Paul, after what people told us at the combine, do you really think a tackle in this draft is worth the 12th pick?
Again, part of it's going to be need.
Right.
It's part of the equation.
No, it is. I know.
We've discussed this. You got to get three offensive starting caliber offensive linemen somehow by the end of April. And if you're not going to get him in free agency, where else are you going to get him, John?
I don't think Dave Gettleman's someone that's going to go way off his board to do it, though.
I don't know that he's going way off his board for McGlinchey. Well, I think McGlinchey's probably right in the 15 area. 12 is not that much of a stretch.
Okay.
Anyway.
We'll see where he winds up. Look, I don't think it's out of the question.
But I'm not doing this today. Again, free agency's got to play out.
I know. Relax.
See, but a bunch of people out there are going to hit me on Twitter now saying this is exactly how I'm in cement. I'm not in cement on this, folks.
Dude, nothing you say about the draft in March is in cement.
No, it's not.
Jason in Maine. What's up, Jason?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Jason.
Hi.
Hey, just a question for you. Two questions. I think you guys had said before in the past about the Jets and Giants, you know, making trades. I know the Jets are at six, Giants are at two.
Yeah.
Is there friction between the offices on making trades, or I mean, what? Can you explain more about the Giants and Jets, like trading picks? Is it harder than it would be with regular teams, and why?
Jason, in my opinion, it shouldn't be. I can't tell you whether or not it is or not. I don't think Mike Maccagnan and Dave Gettleman have any issues. I don't see why they would. It's stupid for them to have issues. I don't think they do. If you have a trade that you think helps your organization and it's with the Jets, you pull the trigger. And I know people say, well, you don't want to give a franchise quarterback to the Jets. Well, if you think the guy's a franchise quarterback, then pick the quarterback and don't trade him to the Jets. That's what I'm saying.
That makes sense, John, doesn't it?
That's what I'm saying.
Here's what I will say, and I'm not giving out any secrets because I'm saying as far as I know, I've never heard of the Giants calling the Jets with an offer for their draft pick. I've never heard of that before. It doesn't mean it hasn't happened. What I do know is the Jets, and this has been reported, so I'm not giving up any secrets here. The Jets did call the Giants a few years ago to try to move up to get Tunsil, and the Giants did not like the package that was offered, and therefore they stood pat.
But let me put it this way, Paul, and I think you agree.
So the line, again, different people in the front office now.
Of course.
But the Jets have picked up the phone.
And, Jason, we're past 1 o'clock. We got to run. I'm sorry. Give me a call back tomorrow, and we'll finish up your call. If the Jets call the Giants with a trade, and it's a trade that the Giants think is more value than what they're giving up, they're going to do the trade. They're not going to say, oh, you're the Jets. We're not trading with you, even though we think the trade's going to help us. How stupid would that be? How stupid would it be?
As Judy Batista from NFL Network said yesterday, right now the climate in the NFL is if both teams win on the trade, that's fine. Okay?
Yeah.
She's right. In the olden days, it used to be you wanted to win on the trade and you didn't want the other team to come out well on that deal.
Correct.
You wanted to just kick their butts on the trade and it was embarrassing if the other team did okay. The climate now is it's fine if we both win. Good.
And the Jarvis Landry trade is a perfect example.
Yeah.
Final call of the show is Jay in Brooklyn. Jay, what's going on, pal?
How you doing, guys? I'm going to go in a totally different direction than this. People are going to think I'm crazy. Of course I want an oil. That's without a doubt. And I trust Gettleman and Abrams knowing what the cap is. I don't think it's the end of the world, personally. You know, investing that much money in a guard is a big deal. One of the problems with the Giants, and you guys just went over it for the whole show, is depth at several positions.
Yeah.
Linebacker depth, O-line depth, D-line depth, now secondary depth.
Yeah, huh?
If you look at this, one of the reasons the Giants are in this position is because they have too much money allocated to too few players at the top of their team.
I think that's a good point.
And adding a $14 million or $15 million guard would not have helped that situation, and people need to understand that. If you're telling me that the Giants were going to trade the second and they were getting, you know, four more picks, I say back up, do whatever you want to get Norwell here. They only got about five picks. You know, how many of those picks are actually going to make the team? Maybe four, five?
Well, you would hope, given that the picks they have are in the first four rounds, they have five picks in the first four rounds,
they all better make it. They better all make it this year.
But, I mean, some of them, they're going to be their effectiveness is going to be, you know, on the scale. Some of the guys are going to be way more effective than others.
Well, of course, yeah, naturally.
Okay.
My overall point is I'd rather have this money because of their cap situation where they are right now, with guys like JPP and Vernon and Eli taking up all this space. I'd rather spread that Norwell money around the whole team, personally.
And that is one way to approach it, and it's a fair way to approach it. And maybe that's what Dave Gettleman's thinking. Who knows?
I don't have a problem with that thought.
Thank you, Jay.
Which is why I've said it would make a lot more sense to me if you can get a reasonable value with a guy like a Fleming or a guy like a Hubbard. Go for it. Go for it. Get reasonably priced offensive linemen who can do a quality job.
Yeah, right. What if you can get two average starters at two positions instead of getting the one monster guy? You can make your argument based on, like Jay said, based on where the roster is at now and all your needs. That might be the better way to go. So I think it all depends on how they allocate those funds in free agency. And we'll find out shortly, folks, because tomorrow everything becomes official and things start happening for real at 4 o'clock. Tomorrow, Jeff Fiegels and Ambi will be with you at noon. We'll be talking to Ross Tucker from Sirius XM NFL Radio in Westwood 1, and he'll kind of give us his take on the offensive line group specifically in terms of what's out there in free agency, former NFL offensive lineman, and he'll kind of give us a league-wide view of what's happening in the free agent market. Paul, good show.
All right, John.
We'll see you guys tomorrow on Giants.com. Have a good one, everybody.